John chapter 15. All right, we just finished, obviously, chapter 14, since we're starting John 15 this morning. But John 14 is the way of the Father, promise of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look at John 15, the vine, the branches, the vine dresser, the world's hatred towards believers. And then we'll continue on with chapter 16, 17, 18, and the outline there. As well, we'll see more teaching from Christ on the Holy Spirit, and then the high priestly prayer in John 17, and then the crucifixion, the resurrection, from 18 through chapter 21. All right, so John 15, we'll read verses 1 through 12 to get the narrative here. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." All right. So what three things do you see addressed in verses 1 and 2? What are the three main things in verses 1 and 2? Wow, it's quiet. All right, we see a vine. All right, good. What else do we see in verse 1? We're on a roll. Man, I think did everybody move their clocks ahead last night, and now we're all, like, sleepy? All right, we see a vine. We see what was the other one? Vine dresser. And then verse 2, we see branches. All right, so we have vines, a vine dresser, and branches. So, what is the purpose? And again, I'm not looking necessarily at Scripture. If you were taking care of, if you grew grapes, all right, and you had this fruit on a vine, all right, what is the purpose of the vine? What does the vine do? All right, it carries the nutrition from the ground to the fruit, to the whatever is growing on them, all right? And it feeds it, all right? So it is the means by which the fruit is fed. All right, who is represented by the vine? Now we do kind of have to think about Scripture a little bit here. But who is representing, or who is the vine? All right, Christ is. All right? And what is the function? What is the function of Christ as the vine within a practical scenario here? We'll get to that in just a minute. But what, Teresa? All right, and Christ is feeding the branches. He's feeding that fruit. He's the main source of nutrition. He's the source of truth, the source of what is needed for these branches to thrive and flourish. All right, then we see branches in verse 2. So what, again, what's the purpose of the branches in just a garden scenario? They bear fruit, all right? They are to bear fruit. Who is represented by the branches? All right, the followers of Christ, the believers, and then what is the function of the branches? All right, to bear fruit and to carry forth what is being taught and the things that are true and right. All right, now we get the vine dresser. What is the purpose of a vine dresser?
He's a gardener.
All right, he's a gardener, which means that he is responsible to do what? All right, to take care of what's there. He is in total control of it, and he's going to prune or pull up or cut off or do whatever needs to be done in order for his garden, the area that is growing to thrive and flourish and to be all that He wants it to be and to become what He wants it to be. All right. So who is represented by the vine dresser? All right. The Father. God the Father is, because God is sovereign. God is in control. He is over all that. And then the function of the vine dresser is what? All right. To keep the body healthy. You know, to keep all of in the spiritual sense, God as our vine dresser, you know, He is going to do whatever to keep the body healthy, to keep His followers healthy. That's why we have verses in their heart verses, you know, that God works in us, you know, that God is striving to conform us to the will of His Son or to the image of His Son. And as we read these verses, you know, we struggle with them sometimes because what happens? We have to ask ourselves, you know, is He just working in me? Is He trying to conform me to the image of His Son? You know, is He reproving me, rebuking me, correcting me for something? Because again, as the husbandman, as the vine dresser, you know, all of that plays a part. He is going to correct us. He is going to reprove us. He's going to rebuke us. He's going to chasten us. He's going to, you know, as we see in other parables, you know, He's going to have to dig around sometimes and fertilize and prune and do that. But in a lot of times, from practical standpoints, that's not real fun. It's not pleasant. All right, we all like the idea of bearing lots of fruit. And, you know, being fruitful, but we don't enjoy what it takes to get that fruit.
And the vine dresser is also the recipient of the fruit. I mean, he's the one that takes advantage of what is produced.
Right.
It's for His
glory. For His glory, for His honor.
For His
benefit. Right. So all that's being done and produced, He gets the credit. And again, because He is... I hate using the word orchestrating, but in a sense, He's orchestrating all of that. And He's the one putting it all together, making it all happen. All right, so if we kind of want to summarize all of it here in a chart. All right, the vine gives life to the branches, is Christ, and gives and sustains life of His followers. The branches are bearing fruit. The disciples of the vine, of Christ, were carrying on the ministry of Jesus, as we've seen, as we looked at in chapter 14. And then the gardener, the vine dresser, he's pruning, hauling away, burning, taking care of the vineyard, and that's God the Father. And so, in essence, He is judging and cleansing the community of believers, as we would refer to us today. All right, so back to verse 1. We'll spend some time in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. All right, so what's the very first thing that we see here? The I am. And what is important about the I am? Have we seen that before in the book of John? All right, how many other times have we seen the I am in John? All right. Right, we've seen it 6 times previous. This is the 7th. Good. I guess we already answered that one. And so we have I am the bread of life. Is the very first one that we saw way back in chapter 6. And then I am the light of the world in chapter 8. I am the door. I am the good shepherd, both in chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14. And then I am the true vine in chapter 15 here. All right, so we're kind of wrapping down these I am statements made by Christ. What is slightly different in this statement from the other statements? Anybody... Think you might have to think a little bit about. I know I'm throwing a little tricky question in here. Let me go back to the verse. All right, think about the other 6. So here he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And then let's see, looking at the other 6 of them here, what would and I didn't. You know, I know on my chart I just have "I am the true vine" because I didn't have room to put the rest of the verse there without running out. It wouldn't have fit. But anyway.
They're all separate characteristics of the vine.
Okay. All right. They're characteristics of the vine. Yes, and the thing that I think, to me, the thing that stuck out is Jesus was including the Father in chapter 15. The other six, it's really, it was all, and I'm not going to say it wasn't about the Father, but, you know, it was all things about Him. Jesus says, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he doesn't continue and say anything else about the Father, about anybody else. But here he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He is the husbandman. He is in control of all things. You know, and, you know, I don't know if it's, again, trying to prepare the disciples for what's coming ahead, getting them to understand and realize that, hey, God is in control of all things. You know, God is sovereign. And as we get ready to go into this incredibly difficult time where Christ is going to be crucified, he wants his disciples to understand, you know what, God still is in control. And God's still going to be, will take care of us.
Another thing is, in all the other six passages, Jesus is claiming to be the way, the door, the light, the truth. And here, he is including the believers and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. Now he's saying, as the truth, as the light, as the door, the vine has some other connections.
Okay.
The door stands alone, the way, the truth, the life stands alone, the good shepherd is life, but here the vine is feeding and has the branches connected to it and has the Father.
Right. Okay. Also in control.
Yeah.
And another, and I'm trying to think back, the majority of the six, what else was taking place along with them? Do you remember?
There were miracles.
Okay, either miracles or some kind of Jewish feast, right? Or some type of Jewish celebration that went along with that. You know, when he said, I'm the light of the world, that was the Feast of Lights. You know, so Jesus was, you know, he was trying to draw the parallel between to the Jews that what you're celebrating, that's me. You know, you're celebrating a picture of me, what something that, you know, Israel did looking forward to when their Messiah would come. But you know what? Now we get to chapter 15, and it's kind of like it's all winding down. And all of these things, all of these pictures, all of these ways that Christ was trying to point or show himself to the Jews, it's really kind of come to a completion now. And now it's really, again, starting back in chapter 13, the focus is on doing what? Teaching his disciples and really spending time with them, preparing them. And so now, you know, he's not telling them, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and I'm the shepherd, and I'm all... No, they're already following him. Their faith is in him. Now they need to realize, you know what, as a branch, you are connected to the vine. And as the vine, I'm the solid, or I'm the foundation, I'm in the ground, I'm the roots, I'm there. And you can trust in me, and I'm not going anywhere. And yes, I said I'm going away, and you know, you where I go, you can't come. But I'm still going to be in your life. And again, they're struggling with that. They don't understand how that can be. You know. So again, what did he say? You know, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you somebody else that will be with you. This other paraclete, and he'll be with you, and he'll help you, and he'll teach you, and he'll guide you. But it's still the nourishment, the strength that they need, the life that they need is through Christ. As we go through this. So chapter 15 is really at the heart of the farewell discourse. It started back in chapter 13. It's going to run through chapter 16. And so Jesus is transitioning to some, you know, as I was reading different commentators and different things this week, some use the word allegory, which some don't like that word because of the negative connotation that it has in today's society, you know, because we, you know, a lot of our liberal connections with, you know, they use allegories as what? Something that's just fake, it's false, it's, you know, make-believe. So some commentators don't like the word allegory, some use the word a metaphor. One guy got real educational and used the word mashal, which anybody know what that is? It's a Hebrew word. Anybody? Go once, go and fight. It's a short parable with a moral lesson, or it was kind of funny because in the definition it's a religious allegory. But he didn't mind. He was the one that said he doesn't like to use the word allegory, so he used the word mashal.
So
the Hebrew word for allegory. But anyway, so we are, you know, so here is a story that Jesus is telling, or some type of comparison, whatever you want to refer to it as, including the vine dresser, and the branches, and he's trying to teach. And I do like that. He is trying to teach them a moral lesson, a religious point, using these three things. So, why does Jesus make a point to say that he is the true vine, rather than just saying, I am the vine, or I am a vine, I am whatever? Why does he make it a point to say, I am the true vine? All right, because of false teachers. All right, because he is the only one, the only vine.
Okay. Truth, you can make that connection.
All right.
If you garden, you know, there are tons of other things that come up, briars and stuff, you have to pull them out so that the garden remains healthy, you know, and that idea that, especially in today's world, at making that connection, there are so many other things that claim to be the truth so that have the answer. And things you can't
okay.
I am.
He's still trying to confirm to them and make it more concrete to them that he is the Messiah.
All right. Good.
The vines will have a tendency to shoot out runners or suckers. If they aren't dealt with, they can overcome. And Jesus is saying, I am the one.
Right.
Of course, the vine dresser is going to take care of the rest of them.
Right. And that was one thing when I landscaped in college, and that was one thing we had to learn was, you know, because a lot of shrubbery had the suckers that would come up. You know, it looked nice and full, but it was, you know, if you let those suckers grow and not didn't cut them off, it would overtake and kill the plant. And it had a reverse effect on it, so you'd have to often go in and prune them out, cut them out. You know, and it didn't look as nice when you got done, but it allowed the true root and shrub to flourish and to look nicer in time. All right, so the word translated true is that Greek word there, and it is an adjective that means genuine or pure. So yes, Jesus is saying that he is the genuine vine. He is the pure vine. He is, you know, the one and only true vine. There's no other vine in the vineyard that gives life to the branches at all, really. Because again, you know, the suckers, they look like they might be their own, but what are they doing? They're sucking off the real vine. And again, you know, they're just, and that's why they're called suckers. They're just sucking life out of the true root, the real root of it. So if there's a genuine vine, then is there a false vine or false vines?
Yep.
All right, yes. We would say yes, there are. And again, you know, even in Christ's ministry, what was he, you know, he attempted often to point that out and to show the disciples, to show the followers that those that were listening to him, what was true, what was false. You know, and again, we do the same today. You know, we have true teaching, we have false teaching. And false teachers that we have to guard against and watch out for. So is there anything about a vine or vineyard that may have made sense to the disciples? Alright, this we're going to start getting we're going to get into the medium part of the pool here. Alright, can anybody think of any correlation that the disciples might have had when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the vine dresser?
And he comes through the Lord's Supper where he is
okay.
Fruit of the vine.
All right. Anything back to the Old Testament?
Well,
Any Old Testament correlations here? All right, the what?
The song about the vineyard that I just sang.
Okay. That, what were you going to say?
Well, the parable or the story where there's the vineyard that's let out to others, and then when the sun comes, it's filled.
Okay, that's in the New Testament, one of the Gospels.
Okay.
But yes, we'll get to that in a little bit as well. But in the Old Testament, there are a couple songs, perhaps. So I think they're referred to as songs. But a couple writings, anyway, about vineyards. All right, so the Old Testament often uses vine or the vineyard to represent Israel. And we got time. We go back to Isaiah chapter 5. As we read these, I'm not saying these are perfect examples in any means, because there are some similarities, but there are some things that are not similar at all. So as we kind of read through these, be thinking, you know, what is similar, what isn't similar, how could this maybe have been, you know, Jesus, the correlation, or how is it like, no, it's totally different as well. So, chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant painting. And he looked for justice, and behold, bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. So obviously, what is the vineyard here in Isaiah? All right, it's Israel. And again, who's the vine dresser? Still is God. All right, but what was the problem with the vineyard? They grew wild grapes. They weren't submitting to the vine dresser. They weren't doing what was being asked of them and required of them. They were rebelling against the vine dresser, and they wouldn't produce the proper fruit. All right. So he says what? He said, "Well, I'm going to take the hedge down. I'm going to take protection away from you, and I'm just going to let you, in essence, go to hell." You know, that's it. I'm done. You know, you're done with. I'm done with you because you're not doing what I'm trying to get you to do. Then Isaiah 27. And 2-6, I'll start in verse 1, though. It says, "In that day the Lord, with his hard and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan the flaming serpent, Leviathan the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day a pleasant vineyard, sing of it, I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day, I have no wrath. Would that I had thorns and briars to battle. I would march against them, I would burn them up together, or let them lay hold of my protection. Let them make peace with me. Let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole earth with fruit." Has he? I guess we could stop there. You can keep reading down for a while too. But again, here, who is the vineyard? All right, it's Israel again. All right, so Israel is pictured as the vineyard. God is the vine dresser. He says right in there in verse 3, "I, the Lord, am its keeper." All right. So in this scenario, it is the redemption of Israel and their restoration. and they're going to be reinstituted in some form or fashion there. And so the vineyard will come back, essence. So what is the, and we're not going to get into all of that, just using that to show you that when Christ uses these allegories or these metaphors, that often there is some association. You know, there's something that the disciples, it's going to ring a bell with them, something that they can relate to or know of from the Old Testament to try and bring that knowledge forward. All right. So what is the problem with the using this Old Testament or the Old Testament stories here with what Jesus is teaching? Because there's a couple big disconnects.
Well, the first one is talking about destruction.
Okay. All right. So the first one is, you know, that the vineyard is just going to be destroyed. All right. And that's not obviously what Jesus is saying at all in John 15. You know, he's not saying, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and, you know, sorry, stinks to be you because you're all going to be destroyed. All right. There's not that. Okay.
And I think he's trying to make them remember that story where the grapes went wild. They were not alive.
Okay.
So you abide in me. Don't, you know.
Okay.
Don't be.
All right. So if we, as we get further in, it's going to relate more back to the Old Testament. Uh-huh.
But as you've been saying, is the vineyard was a representation of Israel, but in the New Testament, we're talking about wrapping in the Gentiles.
Okay. Right. You know, so at this point, and I know he's talking to the disciples here, which are Jews, but it's really, I think this is the transition. Jesus is beginning to transition to the vineyard, not just being Israel or, you know, national Israel, so to speak, but it's now transitioning to believers, those that are my followers, those that abide in me. Those that have realized that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That now those are, and as Paul says in Romans, yes, they are being grafted in now. And so those are the branches that now we're talking about. You know, it's not just you have to be a Jew, but no, now it's you have to abide in me. You have to believe in me. Yes, Greg. Okay. And Pastor, yeah, wait till 10:45. Pastor covered some of that earlier, in this morning. You know, he's still talking about, you know, the Abraham and the true sons of Abraham. So yes, you're on the right track there. All right. So, you know, there are some comparisons that we can draw from Isaiah to here. But Israel failed to produce the fruit that God wanted them to desire, and that brought judgment. You know, and to some degree, you know, yes, as individuals, we might not produce the fruit that God wants, but will we be destroyed? No. You know, God's not going to just destroy us completely. We will be pruned, and we will be, if we, again, we'll get to that as we keep going, because I know there's some that are cut off and there's some that are pruned. But as we abide in Christ, then fruit is produced. And I think the essence, or the one of the main points that John is making, or that Christ is making here, is that by their fruit you'll know them. And that if you are in Christ, if you're abiding in Christ, then you will have fruit. All right, well, we will pick up there next week and continue on with that. But Father, I pray that you would give us a good week. Bless, I pray. Be with Pastor as he preaches again in the 10:45 service, and give him strength. Thank you once again for all those that have served in our different armed forces. And thank you for their the effort and the sacrifice that they've made to do that, to continue to keep our country and our freedoms secure. And we pray for those that are continuing to serve, that you would watch over them. I know we have many that are getting ready to deploy to Africa, and that are already in the Middle East. So continue to watch over and give protection to them. We pray, too, for our emphasis today on orphans and adoption. And, Father, I thank you for those that have taken the step to adopt and that have felt the calling to do that and felt the need to do that. And I ask that you would continue to bless them for that step of faith in their lives and for the love that they've had for these children and reaching out to them and bringing them into their homes and just showing them God's love and Christ's love, the unconditional love to them. And I ask that you would continue to meet their needs and bless them in your name. Amen. Yeah.